I would like you to turn with me in your Bible to 1 Peter and chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. We are going through the first letter of Peter on a Sunday morning, so we have come to this verse. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, in the previous verses, we were looking at instructions to elders, and now we are looking at instructions to the young. Young men, be submissive to those who are older. Now, first of all, it means to those who are elders, because the same word is used, translated who are older, in verse 5, as is used in verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, etc. Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock under your care, serving as overseers. So we know from those first four verses that he is speaking there to those who hold office. Now he goes on to speak to young, those who are young, to be submissive to those who hold that office. But most are agreed that it has a wider application than that. That he is speaking to all who are young, that they should have respect towards those who are older in years, an older generation. That's why it says young men, because if it was just to the elders, then that applies to all in the church. But now he's giving a kind of double meaning, as the Bible often does. So there is a reminder that they are to be submissive to those who hold office, but also that the young should be submissive towards all of the older generation and have respect to them. It says young men. Not all translations translate young men. Some just say young. But it does seem to have the slant on the male side. And I think that's because he was assuming that young women, being good Christian young women, that they would be submissive anyway. And that it was the young men who particularly needed the reminder that they were to have respect and honour towards the older generation. So that is the burden, therefore, of my message this morning. But as I speak particularly to young people, don't you older ones feel, well, he's got nothing to say to us? Because just as last week, though the instructions were primarily to elders, we all could learn from it. So this week, though the instruction is primarily to those who are young, to our boys and girls in the Covenanters, to our young people's fellowship members, the teenagers and the 20s, to young couples, and so on. Really, there's a word to all of us, particularly all of us who still have a generation above us. And I shall have a word for the oldest generation at the close. Now, I believe this is a very important message today, because there is a great deal of emphasis today upon the young people. And sometimes a church is judged by how many young people they have. I think that is a very mistaken judgment. And yet there seems to be sometimes a great emphasis upon the young. And I'm sad to say that in some places it's an unhealthy, an unbalanced, an unbiblical emphasis. So that the whole church and assembly or fellowship is to revolve around the young. What they want. We mustn't upset the young people. The young people want this. The young people want that. Therefore it must happen. And so on. The young people can evidently do no wrong. Of course, you get the other extreme sometimes, don't you? Where the young people can do no right. I read this by one of an older generation commenting on young people. The world is passing through troublous times. The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they knew everything, and what passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. As for the girls, they are forward and immodest, unwomanly in speech, behavior, and dress. Now, do you think that was a letter in last week's Evangelical Times? Well, it was written by a cleric named Peter in the year 1274 AD. So it just goes to show that that is the older generation's view of the younger generation in every age and every generation. Now that's going to the other extreme and showing no understanding or tolerance for the problems of adolescence, the exuberance of youth, and the adjustments of growing up. Now, what is our position here at Lansdowne? Certainly God has granted to us, compared with some, many young people. I look around the church and look around the galleries and see what warms my heart, to see a rising generation of young believers and young marrieds and young singles and the boys and girls into covenanters. What do I have to say from the scriptures to young people? I'll tell you. I say from the word of God, young people, respect your elders. Respect and honor and be submissive towards those who are of the older generation. Office bearers, of course, in the church, but the oldest generation. And it begins in the home. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. Do you remember that we were doing that on Friday, weren't we? The covenanters and I were together on Friday, and each Friday they're having one of the commandments. And you see how God works it all in. And so on Friday night it was the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And that is never rescinded. And so long as we have father or mother alive, we are given that commandment to honor them. And when they've gone to heaven, to respect their memory. And we're told in the New Testament, children, obey your parents. And fathers are told to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So I think this whole idea of the young generation respecting an older generation begins in the home and the way they're brought up and the way they're taught. How will it show itself? Young people, you say to me, how do we show this respect, this submission, this honor to those who are older? Well, I think it begins with forms of address. Now, we are very much into first names because we're very close and we're a family, and I love that. I want us to get closer than ever. But my own view is that someone of a particular generation should not use the first name of someone of an older generation unless invited to do so. Now, I know it's just a little thing. And I know that the handle that we use doesn't necessarily indicate the amount of respect. And there are many people who use my Christian name, and I don't attach a great deal of significance and importance to it. Though having said that, I must tell you, I do like the title pastor. Do you know, boys and girls, what the word pastor means? Anybody in Covenanters tell me what pastor means? Shepherd. Shepherd. Now, we were learning last week, you see, that pastors are to be shepherds. Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock under your care. So whenever someone addresses me as pastor, it's like a reminder from the chief shepherd, verse 4, my chief shepherd, that I have been given by him this tremendous responsibility. It's a challenge to me. It's an exhortation to me. Remember what you are, who you are, and what I expect of you, pastor. But what I'm talking about now, young people and myself. Now, sometimes people who are older than me, the older generation than me, in their 60s and so on, they have said to me, oh, call me, and then their Christian name. Sometimes I find it very hard to do that still. Perhaps it's the way I was brought up or something, I don't know, but to me, they're older than me. And therefore, I feel I have to call them Mr. whatever or Mrs. But sometimes they prevail upon me and then I get used to it. But that's the first thing. A form of address can indicate that we are respectful. But of course, it's a manner of speaking. 1 Timothy in chapter 5, if any of you want to glance back or just listen to it, 1 Timothy and chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, Timothy was a pastor. He held the office of elder. He was an apostolic delegate. And yet, this is what Paul says to him. Timothy, chapter 5, verse 1, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. You see? Very important, the manner with which we come to those who are older. Even if they're wrong, and they may be wrong, we are nevertheless to speak with them and to them and about them with respect for their age. And then another way of showing our submission to them and our respect for them is by helpfulness. There should be contact, as praise God there is here, between the older and the younger, between all the generations. And I love it when the YPF on Sunday nights have Meet the Family, and when they also have a tease for those who are in the older generation, so that there is a constant coming together of the two generations, or the three or four generations. Young people seek the counsel and help of those who are older. They can be very helpful to you. But then it is an attitude of mind. Never despise those who are older. Never dismiss them as has-beens or old fuddy-duddies or something of that kind. God is not pleased with that. We have to be careful. Now, why do I feel it laid on my heart to bring this message to you this morning, apart from the fact that here it is? Well, first of all, because God says so in His Word. And if we're Christians, young people, we should obey God's Word in everything. And God says that those who belong to Him must be submissive to those who are older. God has a special respect Himself, if I can put it this way, for those who are older. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, grey hair, the splendor of the old. God sees that grey head, whether it doesn't mean literally whether it's grey or not, but He sees the older years and honors that. And there's a very interesting verse in Leviticus and chapter 19 and verse 32, which reads thus. May I read it to you? Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. Couldn't be plainer, could it? Just as God has a special love for little children, so He has a special respect for those who are aged. And then the second reason is because they have a wisdom, or should have, the wisdom of experience. They have been trained in the school of life and graduated through the university of hardship. And you can't get that out of books. And therefore, if God has used those things to their maturing, they have a wisdom to share with the rest of us that we need to take heed to. In the book of Job, we read this in Job 12, for anyone who wants the references, Job 12:12. Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? Well, it certainly should do. Not always. Job's old friends brought him bad advice and no comfort, so much so that one of the younger ones, Elihu, was exasperated. But even the way that he was exasperated shows what he expected of those who were older. In chapter 32, verse 6, so Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite, said, I am young in years, and you are old. That is why I was fearful, not daring to tell you what I know. I thought, age should speak, Advanced years should teach wisdom, but it is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding. It is not only the old who are wise, nor only the aged who understand what is right. Therefore, I say, listen to me, I will tell you what I know. I waited while you spoke. I listened to your reasoning while you were searching for words. Why did he? Because they were older than himself, and because he expected better from them and wiser advice. So even if in the end, I'm saying to young people and those who still have a generation above you, even if you feel in the end that what you're being told is mistaken, you're listening to a Christian, you're listening to somebody who claims to know the Bible and has walked with the Lord that many years, you would expect to hear wisdom. Now if you conclude it isn't, all right, but listen to it first, because you should expect to get wisdom from those who are older. And then the third reason why we should respect those who are older in years and be submissive to them is because we will want the younger generation to be that towards us when we get old. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us the golden rule: do unto others as you would that they should do unto you. But when we get old, if the Lord spares us into old age, we will hope that the young will respect us and take care of us. I sometimes tell, and the boys and girls will be interested in this, story that I heard of some family where granddad was very old and he couldn't do anything anymore, and he just sat in the armchair and he couldn't make anything and he didn't speak much and he didn't produce anything, he couldn't work on the farm, he couldn't do anything, and he just sat there. So one day dad said to his little boy, "We're going up the mountain today." Little boy was excited, he loved to go climbing the mountain. Dad, to his surprise, said, "We're going to take Grandpa with us." Well, Grandpa couldn't even walk down the end of the garden usually. And the little boy said, "Take Grandpa with us?" "Yes," he said, we're going to get him up, we're going to hold on to him, we're going to take him." So when they were setting off up the mountain, the little boy was puzzled and he said to his dad, "Dad, why are we taking Grandpa up the mountain?" "Well," his dad said, "actually we're going to leave him up there." The little boy said, "What?" "Well," his dad said, "Grandpa's not much good anymore, is he really? He can't do anything. And he's sort of around the place and everything. And I think it would be best for us just to take him up the mountain and then just leave him there." The little boy said to his dad after a few more feet climbing, he said, "I'm ever so glad you invited me along today, Dad." He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I'll see the place. And then I'll know where to bring you when you're old to leave you." His dad said, "I think we'll take Grandpa back home again." And that's true. And we must remember that maybe God will spare us to come into old age. And then is the time when we will hope that the younger generation will not be impatient with us, but will be understanding and loving and kind, and honour thy father and thy mother to the very last. So that's the third reason. Here is the fourth reason. Because if they're Christians, and I'm assuming that this epistle was written to Christians, they have faithfully walked with the Lord down many years. Maybe 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. We have one member of our church who's over 100. Walked with the Lord down many years. Young people, let me say this. It's one thing to start. It's another thing to continue. And it's one thing to continue. It's another thing to finish. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I have finished my course." That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Him that endureth to the end shall be saved." And so you see, we are to respect them. And often it has been through many dangers, toils and snares. As I said, through the school of hardship, they have kept the faith. I remember riding on the back of my father's scooter many years ago now. We were in northern France. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I was on the back. We were in northern France visiting missionaries of the European Missionary Fellowship. And I had a great problem in my young Christian life at that time with providence. Don't we all, to some extent? Still, we never fully fathom the mystery of providence. And we had visited some missionaries, and I had been shocked to see that some, supported by British Christians, were living what seemed to me to be at the poverty level. But others, who were supported by the generous believers across the water in the United States, were living more comfortably, as they ought to have been. But I not only had a problem between the meanness, what seemed to me, of British believers, who were prepared to let their missionaries live like that, and the generosity of them. I had a problem with the God who is over all. And Dad and I were discussing this on the scooter, and I was saying, I don't know why. They've both gone to serve God. Why does God allow them to live like that? Well, my dad was saying, and trying to curb my indignation, lest I had us both off the scooter, and he said, you mustn't question God. We talked about it, and then I made a very foolish remark. I said, well, God has done quite hardly with you, Dad, down the years. We do say some foolish things. And that upset him. And he said, why do you say that? Well, I said, look, I would have had two brothers. But they both died at childbirth due to problems with the obstetric care, which, thank God, would probably not have happened today. You lost them both, and my mother was very ill, and then my mother died when I was 7 after a long illness. You lost your wife, and then you married again and you had one child, and she's going on fine, but then you had another one and a tumour behind the eye. She died as a little baby girl, aged 2. And I said to my dad, the Lord has dealt severely with you. And he was so upset, and he said, son, God has been good to me. And he began to list mile after mile. He began to list to me the loving providences of the Almighty, and how much he owed to his Saviour, and how God had brought him through these things and taught him things by them. And he couldn't hear a word against his loving Father. And I felt rebuked. I sat there behind the man who means more to me than any man on the earth, and I thought, what a man, what a saint. This is the older generation. We have them here. We have them here. They have walked with the Lord down these many years, and we should respect them. That is the fourth reason. Now here is the fifth reason. The fifth reason is that they have diligently served their Lord as well. They've not only walked with the Lord, but they've served the Lord down through these years. They've not been idle. I was amazed to hear a preacher at a youth conference, a young people's conference, apologizing to the young people for the failures of his own generation and the older generation. I thought that was a great mistake. First of all, it was pandering to them, I felt, in the wrong way. In danger of making them be inflated and exalted above what they should be. Young people are to be submissive to their elders, as we are seeing from the scriptures, and to respect the older generation. And here was this man, this preacher, apologizing to them for the failure of the church in his own generation and the generation still living and so on that they had inherited. And I think it possibly troubled me and upset me, because it was about the time that I took the funeral service of one great servant of God here, who died just over a year ago. And these flowers, I see how God works it all out. These flowers today are presented by his aged aunt in memory of Mr. Bill Hann, who himself died as an elderly man. And up in the tape library, through the 25 years of Mr. Dixon's recorded ministry, he was there every week, every Sunday, every midweek night, and all through my ministry until God called him home. I didn't even need to ask if he was there. And there was nothing that was too much trouble for him to do. He was the older generation. We don't need to apologize to the young people for Bill Hann. We need to respect and honor his memory. But then I thought of all the great pastors I had known, like my own father, who'd served the Lord down through the years. I thought of all the Bible class leaders, now in their aged years, who'd faithfully taught me and thousands of others the Bible from the earliest age, going on week after week. Sunday school teachers, deacons who had served the Lord faithfully over many years, covenanter leaders. Who started the covenanters? The older generation started it, to win boys and girls for Jesus Christ and to teach them the Bible. The Scripture Union, who stood firm in the colleges and the universities when liberalism and radicalism were sweeping through all the theological schools. Some faithful men and women of the older generation. We should respect them. We don't need to apologize for them. We should honor them. What about evangelism? About Billy Graham? Are we to apologize to the younger generation for that great servant of God and that man of God whom God sent to these shores in 1954, I think of particularly, when God was pleased by sovereign grace to save my soul under his ministry? And all over the world he's preached the gospel to more men and women and boys and girls than any other preacher that we know of in any other generation. Who invited him to this country, if you please? Faithful men and women of the older generation who hadn't given up on the Bible. Who, though they were ridiculed and scoffed and scorned and called names like bigots and so on because of what they believed, stood firm and invited this young evangelist. Who evangelized before him? Think of all those who crusaded in villages, who crusaded in towns, who crusaded in cities of the older generation. Are we to apologize for them? I believe, dear friends, with some of these, apologize for them, some of us are not fit to clean their shoes. Great men and women of God. I'll tell you something. It is not the old-fashioned evangelism that worries me in this day and generation. It's a few ideas of the newfangled evangelism. And the message of the gospel has been whittled down to come to Jesus and he'll make you happy. And sacred truths and solemn truths about hell and eternity are sung as if they were jigs. My dear friends, the young generation has a good deal to learn from the older generation about how to preach the gospel and how to win men and women for Jesus Christ and what the central message should be: the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross must ever be at the very center. That man is responsible and accountable before God. He doesn't primarily need Christ in this life to make him happy. He needs Christ because he's going to face his Maker one day and have to answer for his life and his works and his deeds as to whether he knows the Savior or not. Justification through faith alone. That is the heart of the gospel. We need to hear that again. I thank God that there are many rising up in the new generation who see these things. And who are saying, this is it. God has chosen Not through the foolishness of variety concerts, but through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So don't despair of the younger generation. We have younger generation people going out every week on the streets with tracts and going around homes and knocking on doors and so on. We don't need to apologize, dear friends, for the older generation. What about missionaries who have blazed the trail with the gospel all over the world, in every quarter of the globe? Some who are famous, some who are known, but thousands, tens of thousands who are unknown, but known to God, who have spent and been spent in the Saviour's service until they're called home to glory. And they will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of your Lord." So you see, young people, we respect the older generation for all that they have done. Failures? Haven't we all got failures? Haven't we all got failures? Young people, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Towards one another. So here is my closing word to older people, older friends. Are you an example in humility to the rising generation? Do they hear wise counsel from you when they talk to you? Is your speech seasoned with salt? Are you tolerant and understanding towards them? Do you love the younger generation for Christ's sake and set them an example in all godliness and in all humility of mind and heart? Or are you proud, self-assertive, narrow-minded in the wrong sense, and intolerant towards those who are younger in years? The text says we are to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. Where does he get that strange expression from? Clothe yourselves with humility. Do you know where I think he gets it from? I think he gets it from John 13. How that in the middle of supper, when no disciple would have the humility to do the most menial task, to wash the disciples' feet, because they were arguing who was the greatest, who demanded and was entitled to the most respect. The chief shepherd, the chief elder himself, the one that they called Master and Lord, got up from the table, took off his outer garments, clothed himself with a towel. And it says in John 13, knowing that he had come from the Father and was going back to the Father, he did this. He knew his position. He knew his exaltation. He knew his relationship with them. But knowing that, he humbled himself. And he took a basin, and he went with the water and with the basin, and he washed the disciples' feet. So, whether we be boys and girls, teenagers, 20s, 30s, middle age, older years, let's respect one another. Let's have a church that respects one another. Let us clothe ourselves, gird ourselves with humility, knowing that God gives grace to the humble. May this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, who said, "I have set you an example. If I, as your Lord and Master, have done that for you, more humble than the lowest slave, then you should do that for one another. Nothing is beneath you to do for another." May God help us in these days so to do. Our Father and our God, we thank you that your word is relevant and practical to all of us in every stage of life, in all our doings and dealings with our fellow men. Do you have a word for us with regard to relationships in all directions? We pray that we may heed your word this morning. We thank you for those who have been faithful down these long years, that they have learned much in the schools of hardship and difficulty and sometimes grief and disappointment. We pray that they may be able to share what they have learned with us by their lives especially and their demeanor, but also by their teaching and wise counsel. Help us to respect them. We pray for the young people here. We thank you for them. We pray that they may grow up with a sound understanding of the gospel, and that they may grow up to honor their father and mother and those in authority over them and all who are of older years, and speak respectfully to them and about them. And we know that you give grace to the humble, and that you will exalt them and make them mighty. Lord, hear our prayers. May no old saint in our fellowship feel that they're on the scrap heap, or that they're no good, or that they've got no ministry. We thank you for them, and we pray that you will help us to love them and minister to them until you shall choose to call them home. May the blessing of God, who is almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and until we shall see the lovely face of our Saviour, and then forevermore. Amen.